Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash. Is that a rash? But I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Welcome back to Definitely Dying, our friends. Madeline.
Yes.
I am having a week.
No, what's going on?
Oh man, I had a thing.
What?
I had several things, but one of them definitely takes precedent. So I will of course tell the other one first. You notice because I feel like it's
true Definitely Dying style. Yeah, let's save the best story for
right.
last.
Yeah, yeah. Here at Definitely Dying, we always choose to bury the lead. So I just feel like it's the elephant in the room is that I accidentally shaved off part of my eyebrow and
that's like the kind of thing that would happen to me.
I didn't notice, now that you pointed it out. Yeah, now you can see there's like the chunk missing in the middle and I was like, and I had like a thing and I was like, what? I was just sort of trimming and I went overboard and
that's
I cut out the middle.
I can't trim my own.
Oh, well, neither can I apparently. It's like, you know, it's like brave, like walking into the ocean, you know, like, I don't know. But anyway, so I cut it off and then I had like that thing where I'm like standing there with like the trimmer and I'm like, do I have to like take out the other one to make it look normal?
And I'm so glad that you did it because you would look like a lunatic.
Well, then that was the thing. That was my realization. It was like the moment that I kind of understood how like an OJ thing happens where you're like, that's how double homicides happen is that like one of them get in, you're like, I have no other choice but to kill this eyebrow as well. Yeah.
The only thing, nothing is right. So the only thing I can go for is symmetry.
Yeah, exactly.
Symmetry is the closest thing to rightness I can access at this point in time.
Because otherwise there's just no, and what I need to be hard selling is intentionality. Like, yes, my eyebrows look terrible, but it was my choice. So back off. Instead, it's just like, oh no, that 40-year-old man didn't realize that he was going to chop off one of his eyebrows. So that wasn't a great thing that happened. Right. It happened right before class. And then I had to tell the whole class about it. And it was a thing. But that wasn't the big thing that happened this week. So this is what happened. So I need to preface this by saying, and I have to apologize in advance to our loyal listeners, because this is going to be a letdown. This is going to break a lot of hearts. My dental game has been slipping. I know.
No, what?
I know.
How?
In the same way that yours does.
I honestly
does,
think
like,
it's
where,
because you were do it going too hard. I think
you're
you
right,
were.
Right.
I think it was unsustainably excellent.
Yeah, you're
that's
probably right.
My you're also talking to a woman who brushes her teeth once a day, and that's just in the morning.
But, like, I think basically you're right that I went too hard in the other direction.
Yeah.
And I always do. I mean, that's my thing.
It's
like
the yo-yo dieting of teeth
care.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I was yo-yo flossing. Literally, I was using a yo-yo to floss. And
I use my hair to floss sometimes.
That is such a Madeline thing to do. And somehow, like, less gross because I've known you long enough to know that that's just a Madeline thing to do. But if someone else said that to me... yes.
Sometimes I get something stuck in my tooth and all I have is hair. And then my hair will get stuck.
Yeah.
And then I have not only a piece of poop, but a piece of hair stuck in my teeth. Like I'm a weird bone eater.
Weird. See, and stories like that are why I feel like there's some discrepancy as to how well you would do in a zombie apocalypse. Like, yeah. 50% of me is like, you would dominate, and 50% of me is like, dead immediately.
Yes. I've gotten wildly sidetracked.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I feel like this is a day for sidetracks.
Yeah.
This is not a day for sidetracks. This is an after dark night for sidetracks.
Oh my gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Madeline, tell them.
If we sound a little more sultry and a little more like we're wearing an evening gown, mm-hmm. that's because it is the evening. We usually record smack in the middle of the afternoon, what I would call the most low energy part of the day.
Definitely. Whole cultures have devoted this period of the day to naps.
Yes, yes.
And we decided to record two podcasts.
Yeah, we were like, let's chat. And so today is our inaugural Definitely Dying After Dark.
Yeah.
We've moved our recording time.
Welcome to D-Dad,
now
baby.
Now it's a hot 6 to 9, baby. So if you notice a difference, tweet at us, hashtag DD After Dark.
Yeah, DD After Dark. And sorry for the boners that you're getting right now.
I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry for your boners.
And Madeline, I'm sorry that I took you literally and did wear an evening gown.
Never apologize for wearing an evening gown.
Thank you.
What happened to your teeth?
Okay. So I've been slipping a little bit, and I don't think that this was necessarily the result of me slipping, but it definitely did inspire some thoughts after it happened that made me think, okay, I got to get back on the bandwagon, right?
Yeah.
Off the bandwagon's bad, on the bandwagon is good.
Well, it depends on what the bandwagon is doing.
We're following the band One Direction.
Because I think the off the wagon is bad.
Mm-hmm. That means like you're drinking again.
Yes.
So I'm on the wagon flossing.
Great.
Yes, so I'm back to doing good. Okay. But this is what happened. Okay. So this is where folks at home, folks in here, Madeline and Zig, that is. This is where it gets a little visceral. So I just want to let you know in advance.
Thank you. Noted.
So I bit into this peach and I bit down too hard.
Oh, no.
And I like,
no.
And I kind of grazed the pit. And what happened was a little part of it broke off and got wedged between the center two bottom teeth.
No.
The ones that are basically like one tooth with some lines there.
Those are tight. Teeth.
So I went and got some floss and I start going at it, right? And there's nothing they can do. Like it's just this solid piece between these two very narrow this very narrow alleyway between these teeth.
Could you feel the pressure of it?
Tons. I knew that my options were to either do something about this or I had to go to like an emergency dentist. Luckily in this day and age, like there are so many instances where what I'm about to say is the opposite of lucky. In this day and age. But luckily in this day and age, there is like an online dentist kind of thing for emergencies that you can go to that will give you like some options. And so there were basically like three or four options, and most of them are the simplest ones that you can imagine. Like one of them was obviously just go get some floss. And so I'm fighting with this floss in my teeth, and it's like it's not doing anything, and I'm having to apply such pressure that it literally digs into my finger and makes me start to bleed. Like, I cut myself with floss, and it's been hurting ever since.
Did
like,
you get
I had
purple
to.
Purple floss fingers, too?
Yeah, Like, oh, yes. Jeez. Like, just the. Like, I was gripping the side of a building, holding on to for dear life.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just like purple, it was horrible.
A physical chill just went down my spine.
It was not good. And so then I went and I tried. So that was the one thing I knew to do was to try the floss, obviously. And so then I tried like a couple other things that I don't even remember what they necessarily are, but you know, they weren't necessarily going to be like anything that there weren't going to be any like world stoppers. It was just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'll try that. It did nothing. And so finally I got to the last one on the list and I was like, this is my only option before the next thing it says is give us a call. Like we'll try to figure it out or whatever. And so what I had to do was I had to go and get a toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to stick it down at the bottom of the teeth, and I had to push it as high up as I could get it, and then push inward so that it would stay. And for 2 minutes, I had to pry my teeth open.
No!
No!
I hate the sound of that so much.
Oh, really? Is that what? Madeline, you repeated no so many times. So it was bad. It was bad. A lot worse than the eyebrow thing. It happened before the eyebrow, so I didn't have the context then. But after the eyebrow thing happened, I can tell you that, like,
so rattled by this teeth fiasco. Yeah. You shaved your eyebrows off.
Yeah, that probably is what happened. So I jammed it in there and I left it for 2 minutes, and then I pulled it out, and so there's a good and there's a bad. The good is I was then able to get the pit out. It did work. It was a success. But the bad is that ever since it happened,
your teeth creaky?
No, well, there's some abrasion in the back because I just was messing with it too much. But no, it feels a little bit like I pushed the other tooth too far over, and there's like a tiny bit of overlap on one of the adjacent teeth.
Oh, geez.
And so, and I probably, this is like an indication of, this is like why Madeline and I host this podcast. Probably nothing is wrong with me, and I'm just now obsessed with this thing.
And maybe it was like that before,
but you never
paid so much attention to it.
No, yeah. I look at that tooth literally never. Like it's caused me no problems in my life up until this point. And really not at this point, it's not that tooth's fault either. I don't know why I'm going so far out. I'm like, this is like when Ben Green's like, I can't say that because my parents listen. Like, I'm treating it like my tooth is going to be mad at me when it listens to this podcast. But yeah, so it's probably normal. But yeah, for the last few days, anytime my default has become... Yeah. Like my default headspace has become think about these teeth.
I am deeply familiar with that type of spiral.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to Donnaloo?
Well, no, that's part of the thing is that I've been too busy lately, and I let it slip a bit. That's part of the my dental game is slipping. Is that, like, now I keep feeling like I'm back to that place that we all get to where you're like, now I got to spend like a solid 3 months like flossing before I can go to the dentist.
You don't go to the dentist for like
six years.
Listeners, tweet at Ben, keep him accountable.
Yeah,
just go to the dentist because you know what. The perfect is the enemy of good teeth.
Yeah. Nice. I think that's a good note to
start
a podcast
on.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm pretty smart.
Yeah.
Guys, we have a great guest for you today. I'm so excited to have her here. You can see her all over your television. She plays Denise on Stand Against Evil on IFC. She's Esther on The Great Indoors. And she and I shot a Dodge commercial that remains in the vault and will never be seen by anybody.
But it's so good.
It's so good.
Not just a commercial, a campaign.
A campaign.
Yeah. We shot a whole campaign of them.
guys, it's Deborah Baker Jr.
Hello. Hey. Welcome, Deborah.
Hello, thank you.
So, Deborah, we like to kick off the podcast with the same question for all our guests. Let's see how it fits you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Oh, gosh, 10.
10?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
10.
I think, is that our first 10?
You might be our first, like, immediate 10.
Yeah.
I think about death every day, don't
really?
You guys?
Well, no.
I mean, like, contextualize, unpack it a little bit.
Like, I don't think I'm, like, I'm not going to go jump off a building
right now.
But, like, I don't know. I watch a lot of dark stuff on TV.
Yeah, like,
and then I always think about, especially when I'm walking by myself, about like how someone's gonna chop me up into a million bits, like on the way home. Like,
oh,
I'm constantly thinking, like, all right, this could be it, or like,
really?
I don't like
what. I have a lot of those thoughts too, but I have been told that's not. That's unusual.
Yeah. Right. Plus, we know who's going to chop Madeline up. Because it's been predetermined. We already found out who's going to get her.
Yeah.
We read ahead in the book. But, yeah.
What, have you always been like that?
Yeah, I think it's because my mom is she's like, my mother's also named Deborah.
Oh.
That's why I'm a junior.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So Deb Baker Sr. Is the biggest worrywart in the entire world.
Whoa.
Ever, and is constantly convinced like the worst thing's gonna happen.
Really?
Yeah. like, I rented a bike this summer while I was in Atlanta, and she was like, do you have a helmet? Because you know that you're going to crash.
Well, the last time you rode, in all fairness, when we first met, you had your arm in a sling because of a bike accident.
Truly, truly. And not Lance Armstrong. Like, right. No.
How did that happen again? I can't.
It's Memorial Day weekend, and my husband and I decided to take our beach cruisers to South Pasadena on the subway and have a lovely leisurely day. And we had just gotten some coffees and gone to an antique store, and we were just rounding the bend really slowly, and I accidentally hit a lip too hard on the side of the street, and I fell over in slow-mo onto my arm and fractured my elbow.
Whoa. That's like almost identical to Madeline, but running.
Yeah.
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 Yours had an elbow fracture too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a similar, it was a raised piece of sidewalk,
You guys would be terrible in a triathlon.
Yeah, we really would.
I had a swimming accident once. So
really?
We combined. It wasn't big. It just felt like it was only appropriate because those are the three legs of the triathlon. Yeah,
a swimming accident feels like you drown.
Yeah, did you drown or did you just like hit your head on the side of the pool?
I hit my head on the side. Well, I jumped off of a boat trying to get onto a dock and I missed the dock and I slipped off, and when I came back up, I hit my head on the dock and everyone like jumped into the water thinking that I had gone, like I was probably unconscious and had to be saved, but nothing really happened. And in fact, I also had a moment in very early childhood where I dove, when I first learned to dive, I dove into like a 3-foot pool and just cracked my head on the bottom. And I think I just have like a sturdy skull. Like, I think I'm like I think I'm unbreakable in the way that like only dumb people are, you know, like the same way that like sometimes you'll see a guy and you're like, he's sort of amorphous and you're like, you're too dumb to have a shape. Like, I think I think I'm kind of that in the brain department. Yeah.
Wait, is it fair to say you're a little bit accident prone?
Yeah. I think that's a very fair assessment. I recently went to a psychic and she was like, the first thing she said, she goes, oh, you have like you get into a lot of accidents.
Whoa.
And I was like, yep, that's true. Usually it always happens to the right side of my body.
Really?
Yeah. When I was 24 months old, my pinky got caught up in a door hinge and got completely severed.
No!
Yeah.
Is your pinky normal now?
Oh, no, it's not normal. It's real weird. Manicures are horrible for me. They talk about me in other languages.
Can I look too?
Can you see?
Yeah,
it's kind of square.
It looks
also,
okay to me.
You can kind of feel the bone if you put your finger in the right place.
I don't want to.
Do you see it? I mean, I feel you.
Yeah.
He's touching my pinky.
Can I touch
my finger?
Okay, where?
So, like, this is what it feels like on the top of a regular finger.
Okay, regular finger, soft.
And then you can kind of feel the bone right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Madeline's having a lot of big reactions. all legitimate. She's not putting on a show.
You can't feel the bone, because normally you can't feel the bones in your fingers, and if you could, life would be so bad.
I mean, I don't have a terrible life, but
no,
yeah.
No, but like,
I
don't. Everybody's fingers all the time, you can feel the bone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I told a story earlier about getting something caught in my teeth, and Madeline all of a sudden went, no, 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 no. She's having a hard time today. We're gonna take it easy on her.
I'm having a day.
I mean, that's just my first accident. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Walk us through the chronology of your life's accident.
Yeah. So that one was pretty terrible. And my parents... It's quite the story that they love to tell, because they were having a big cocktail party that night. I'm a big WASP, by the way. My mom is very Lebanese, but married my father and abandoned all traditions, and is the WASPiest woman that you've ever met. Yes. Like, you would meet her, and you'd be like, oh, I was born in Baltimore, and everybody thought that our au pairs were my mother, because my mother is so dark, and all of our au pairs were like blonde and Swedish, and like they all thought. Yeah. But anyway, my mom's a big WASP. She would like to be. But so they're having this huge cocktail party, and I was following my dad, put my hand out on this huge steel door, and my pinky got caught in the hinge and completely severed. So like the first little knuckle part up, off.
Holy shit.
And so my dad came in. He was like, oh. And my mom had just done, she loves this part of the story, she had just done a fresh white load. So, so she grabbed a clean sock and had my father put the little nubbin in a, in a, in a plastic bag with some ice. And they left a voicemail on the answering machine to be like, okay, we're going to the hospital with Deborah. Like, enjoy yourself. All of, like, the appetizers are there. We'll be back, I guess, whenever we get back. So we're in the car. My mom's, like, holding me. She said, I'm not crying at all. Totally, like, just like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, my gosh.
We went over a bump, and my dad hadn't, like, sealed the baggie.
Oh, no!
So the pinky, like, flew out. So then we had to stop. And, my, and they were both, like, and when they tell the story, we're, like, going around feeling on. We're, like, I don't want to be the one who finds it. I don't want to be the one who finds the nubbin. Oh. So they found it. We
it's a little baby
and
pinky.
It's
so
baby
tiny.
One. It's just a baby tiny one.
And so it's like the size of, like, a big Tylenol.
Yeah, truly. And so then we got to the emergency room. My mother was beside herself why they wouldn't take us immediately. And we're sitting there. And all of a sudden this other mother comes in with two plastic baggies because her son had been, like, mowing the lawn without shoes. And so both of you did the same thing. Just beside yourselves. And she, my mother was livid, and she was like, he better not go before my daughter. And he didn't. I still got in before. And then I was in a full cast for, I don't know, a couple months. And I immediately switched to my left hand. I've always been ambidextrous. We worked that commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very good with my left hand. We did a commercial with my broken arm.
You were such a fucking baller because, yeah.
I heard it was a campaign.
Yeah, it was a whole campaign. And we had to do like a million things. We had to do like so much in such a short period of time. And the whole time, yeah, you had this broken elbow that you were just holding still. You didn't have a cast, you didn't have a sling, you were just holding it still and pretending to be fine.
Yeah.
And reciting like so much copy about like a Hemi V8 engine.
Because I had convinced the doctor who thought it was a terrible idea that I did this, but I convinced him. I was like, it's only a day. I'm not going to be doing a lot, but if you could just like hold off on the cast, because I just booked this commercial and like it's like this big campaign, and like if they know I have a cast, I'm not going to get it.
Right.
And he was like, I really don't think this is a good idea. And I was like, no, it's going to be fine. It's like totally going to be fine. He's like, I mean, okay, I'm telling you right now, this is a terrible idea. And I was like, no, just give me a sling and we'll come back in a week and talk about it. And so I convinced him, like, you can really get anything in a doctor's office.
Yeah.
That was really gnarly. Anyway, so yeah, that was like the first.
Did they sew your pinky back on?
They sewed it back on.
So they stuck the bone back together? How did it?
Yeah, man, I guess so. I don't really remember.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then it would like, they just want to connect it, right? And then it's going to regenerate naturally over time.
Yeah.
I don't know these things. That's just what I assumed that has to happen. Because otherwise, when somebody gets a break, like, what do they do? Do they like fuse your bones together?
I guess,
I don't know what they do. I thought they just let it
touch
set
them back
and then,
together,
and then it
and
just
then
like
it
forms.
I think the one after that was like I sprained both these fingers and they went completely backwards, so I had to go into another sling. And
same side of your right side.
Always on the right.
How old were you?
I think that was like first grade.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was in a skiing accident where I was completely paralyzed from the waist down for a day.
What?
Yeah. That was terrible. My mom and my dad like put me in ski school and I was kind of like a little bit of a...
Had they not met you?
I was a really good skier. I was really good. And so I was in the advanced class, but I also like sometimes I'm a little bit in my head, and I was really just not listening and thought, hey, I can go and do all of these jumps. And I wasn't listening about how big the jumps were. And so I went off and I went up. And then I went down. I landed straight on my back. They, like, came. I went down on the little toboggan.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, my mom and dad are, like, having this beautiful day of skiing. And she, like, sees the toboggan go down. And she's like, Will, I have this terrible feeling. I think that's Deborah. And he was like, Deb, if you can't, like, stop being a worrywart for 1 second, like, and just enjoy the day, like, and she was like, you know what, you're right, you're right. And he's like, you just ruin everything. And they get down to the bottom of the slope, and they're like, Mr. and Mrs. Baker, please come. She was like, well, I knew it, I knew it.
She's like, and I'll never enjoy anything as long as I live.
She's lived by the worst.
It really sounded like when you got to the bottom of the hill, your parents were divorced. Yeah. It sounded like that's where that story was going.
It's just terrible. What's the next one? I broke my arm again, roller skating, right before I was supposed to go to tennis camp one summer.
Yeah, I love how waspy all of your injuries are.
Truly.
A cocktail party, skating lessons, and right before tennis.
Right before tennis camp. I got thrown off a boat once because... I'm from Boston, but we had a house down in Florida that we lived sometimes, and I was really into the shrimp boat guy. He was kind of into me, but then this other fisherman guy was also into me, and he was driving the boat, and this shrimp boat guy put his arm around me, and the fisherman boy got really jealous, and so to, like, move us apart, he, like, did, like, a really hard turn, but it, like, backfired because I flew off the boat. terrible. Like, really terrible. And I probably could have, like, broken my neck or something because it was in Florida, so, like, there's, like, you know, sandbars everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could have just, like, anyway.
You would have only broken the right side of your neck anyway.
God. What else? I got hit by a car, like, in Los Angeles, crossing the street in front of Amoeba Records.
Oh my gosh.
It was a hit and run.
Holy
and I lost these teeth.
Oh, yikes.
Which was a real devastation to me because I had never had a cavity.
Yeah.
And you have beautiful teeth.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
If
you're going to have to get hit by a car or, like, have reconstructive surgery, do it in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Are all your... Did they give you all new teeth?
Just these two.
But rest of your regular teeth are so nice also.
Thank you very much. I had headgear as a child.
I have two. I have two LA-born fakies as well. I'll agree that they do good work here.
They do really great work here.
Than the one I got my original set in Michigan. I got the backup, the follow-up set here. Definitely better in LA.
Yeah.
Like, they know what they're doing.
At best, you got to be a 5 in Detroit. Anyway, I got a lot to lose here without these chompers.
And then I guess the next big, by the way, being hit by a car was a great thing because that's how I ended up not meeting my husband, but how my husband and I started dating because we were friends and he was like my only friend in town. And my mother was convinced I was going into a coma.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds like your mom.
Yeah, Baker Sr. It's like what? She told the emergency room not to sew me up because I had split my entire chin.
Oh my gosh.
She got on. She was like, don't you dare sew her up because you use twine. And I'm coming out there. We're taking her. Because they don't use, like, plastic surgery sutures. They use really thick sutures. If you go to the emergency room and it's something that you can afford not to, like, get done right then and there, wait till you can go to a plastic surgeon.
Because
otherwise I would have had my whole chin was open.
Oh.
Teeth were inside my chin, actually.
Oh.
So.
your beautiful teeth.
I know, my beautiful teeth, they were in there. It was like an Easter egg hunt for them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really awful. But he was the only person in town. He made sure I didn't go into a coma. He picked my mother up from the airport.
Oh, my gosh. How did you know him at that? Like, were you guys good friends?
The guy that had hit her with a car.
No, we were just, like we had... we were acquaintance friends. We hung out, like, a bunch, but all my other friends are from out of town, and so they had already left for Thanksgiving.
What year was this?
This was in 2005.
So you were new to town.
No, I'd been out here for a little while. Okay. I moved out here straight from high school.
But it was Thanksgiving, so
right. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after that, I guess the next one was. I trip and fall all the time. and then I broke my arm.
And then didn't a car drive through your house?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was last year. I thank goodness. Yeah, it did. Both of us were at work, and thank goodness I could bring my dog to work last year. I got a phone call. We had just moved from our little lovely loft mm-hmm. apartment yeah. in the Arts District yeah. to this other really cool loft in Boyle Heights. And it was kind of off the freeway, mm-hmm. which it sounded like the ocean all the time. It was really nice.
Yeah.
It was really great. Yeah. Boyle Heights is real still up and coming. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But I guess a guy had a diabetic fit and he lost control of his truck. And the way our apartment was situated is like it just opened straight to the street and he rammed straight through. Just our apartment, only yeah. ours.
Of course.
No one else's. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But no one else was there. So, it was fine.
Yeah.
If I had been there watching TV and I didn't have a job at CBS, I would be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank goodness they let me and my little dog have a job. And, yeah. So, yeah, we had, it's still not fixed.
That house?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. We drove by the other day. It's like still boarded up with like graffiti all over it.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's a blessing in disguise. Okay. You know, a guy got stabbed in the back the night before.
Whoa.
We were sort of just like, oh, this is a little bit too up and coming.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So you moved like as soon as it happened?
We didn't. We lived in an Airbnb for a week. We were in a hotel. And then my lovely friend, Karin Sony, was off filming something. So he's like, just stay in my condo. And we're like, okay. So we lived there for a month.
That's nice.
It's great.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for friends.
Yeah.
If that ever happens, contact Karin.
Yeah. Karin's really great.
Yeah. He's there for you.
He's got a great place.
Wow.
Why do you think all this stuff has befallen you?
I don't know.
Do you ever ask why?
Yeah, I do. I do ask why. They're like, I don't know. It's just something that, like, I don't know, man.
It's so interesting. It's like
it's weird.
So, yeah.
It's very weird.
It's really weird. Also, the fact that it's like the right side of your body is really mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bizarre stuff, man.
Yeah.
But great. I always have something to say at a cocktail party.
Yeah, that thing is ouch. I've fallen and broken my arm. Take me to the hospital, please. Yeah. Call Deb Baker Sr.
She'll tell you the worst case scenario. You'll get real upset.
I wish we could get her on, like, if we could just get her on the horn right now and like list symptoms and hear what she thinks they would be. I would just like to hear, I'd like to hear how my tummy ache could be cancer in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, she would tell you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She has friends that, like, instead of WebMD, they call her.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because is she normally right?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
She's just...
It's her curse.
Yeah. She's incredibly intuitive, but she's also really smart. Like,
yeah.
Very book smart, mm-hmm. is well-read in a lot mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's the person, like, if you do go to the hospital or you do have something, you want her there asking the doctor questions.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, she's asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Or she'll be like, sometimes you don't, because sometimes the doctor's like, okay, let me do my job.
Yeah.
Where's your degree? but other times it's like... Yeah, my dad, like, dropped practically dead one day, and they didn't know what was wrong with him. And it's because she was asking the questions that they found out that he had a tear in his esophagus, and he was, like, bleeding out.
Whoa.
But because she asked those questions and was, like, naggy about it, they wouldn't have found it otherwise.
Yeah. I, like, love and hate that kind of person. Like, my mom is similar, where she is such... a doomsday, like, uh-huh. you know, like, full warrior. Like, she'll all, like, before, it takes her, like, an hour and a half to leave the house because she'll, like, be mapping out so many worst case scenarios and make sure she, like, has everything she could need, like, in her giant purse. And it always seems crazy. And we're always, like, my brothers and I are always like, Mom is so crazy. And the craziest thing is she will be right.
Yeah.
She will be this, like, completely illogical thing that she thinks will happen will like, she was, like, for a while, I was, like, really obsessed with bed bugs. And my middle brother, like, she would be like, there are going to be bed bugs there. And then there are going to be bed bugs there. And he got bed bugs from, he was, like, camping or something. He got bed bugs from, like, some implausible outdoor space. And he was like, do not tell Mom, because she told me there would be bed bugs there. And just, like, the idea that that kind of person is... right is the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah, but I don't. I wonder how much of it is that they're, like, bringing it on themselves, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like positive people always bring positive things.
Yeah.
Right.
And how much of it is, like, oh, you're worrying so much that you actually made that happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. So
true. It's a constant struggle. I'm always like, okay, but life is too short for you to, like, make yourself sick worrying about this. Why don't we think about the best possible scenarios, like, instead?
How much are you a worrier?
I try not to be. Mm-hmm. I think just growing up with that, I try to be. My dad is the polar opposite, so it's like trying to be a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, inevitably, I do start thinking. Yeah, that's why, like, when you ask me about death, I'm a 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's just in the back there. She's constantly telling me about all the different ways I could possibly die.
Yeah.
But do you tend to be more afraid prior to engaging at all? Like, before anything, before you've even started doing something, not even before it becomes bad, but before you've, like, even walk towards your car, do you become afraid that something's going to happen? Or do you find yourself more afraid? Like, do you hear, like, a rustle in the night and immediately, like, become terrified? Do you need some impetus?
I think I need some impetus.
Yeah.
I was also,
I think that's normal.
Like, a perfect, like, square growing up. Like, when everyone else was sneaking out of the house or, like, drinking and things like that, I was the one that wasn't, because I was like, no. Like, either my mother's in the bushes watching, which sometimes she was. Or, or, like,
someone's like... It feels like a
track. Yes, absolutely. It's very on brand for her.
She was even sneaking and, like, turning your perfect roses.
And I was like, I have to stay sober because I know something terrible is going to happen, and I have to be the one that, like, walks them home, or, like, I have to be the one that's, like, the only one that's going to, like, save the situation.
Yeah.
Which isn't always fun sometimes.
No.
If I get really in my head about something.
Yeah.
I don't like to be the first one that jumps into the water because I really feel like I'm going to be the one that the shark comes out for. I like to be the second one.
You wait to see who pops up with leeches on them before you jump into the water. That makes sense. I mean, I think it is the curse of smart children is I think that, like, we just don't get to. I mean, you guys don't. I was dumb. I was square, but just literally. That's like my shape. It feels like you don't get to have quite as much fun. There's always a little bit too much of the suspicion of danger creeps in at too early an age. And, you know, you always want to. I really envied those kids that would just, like, they'd show up at school with a broken arm because they, like, fell out of a tree, and it just, like, didn't occur to them that if they climbed real high and jumped up and down, they were going to fall out of a tree. And then it's like, I fell out of a tree and I broke my arm, and in 6 months it's going to be fine, and I'm not even going to remember this happened. I was, you know, I didn't even climb any trees because I was afraid of falling out of the smallest of them. And kids, you're supposed to have fun when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Not us. We were worrying too much. Somebody's going to follow us to the car.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to follow me to my bike.
I think too many things happened to my mom when she was little that she saw that stuck with her. Mm. Like trampolines, we weren't allowed to go on because she had a friend that, you know how you can double jump?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I still got on those trampolines. Oh, but she just didn't know.
Does now.
She saw someone, and she was in gymnastics too, but she saw someone do the double jump and then be paralyzed.
Ooh.
So she was like, trampolines are out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, there are so many. I don't know. But then again, I'm like, life is short.
Yeah.
And have fun. Let's not worry.
Yeah.
Have you become more of a risk taker as you've gotten older?
Yes and no. There's some.
Specific to the trampoline.
So, only the trampoline. Yeah, I mean, there's some things where I just have to, like, psych myself up and be like, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah. And I'm going to do it. And it's, but.
Like what? Like what's a?
What's something that I'm trying to think of something like recently. I went and got. This is a terrible example, but I went and there's this tunnel in Atlanta that you have to, like, walk through from where I was staying in Cabbage Town. That's, like, all graffitied.
Mm-hmm.
And my first week there, I was like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, this seems really shady. And I was, like, thinking of all the million ways that I could possibly have gotten, like, mugged or jumped or anything like that. And I was like, no, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go at night, and I'm going to walk through, and I'm going to be okay. And maybe this wasn't, like, a great idea for me to do, but I did it, and I survived. But, like, things like that, like walking by yourself. And maybe that wasn't the smartest thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Cabbage Town's great, you know?
Oh, is that a part of Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it really
cool.
is. There's this one tunnel called the Krog Street Tunnel And it's all graffitied, and it's very cool. Anybody can, like, spray paint on it.
Oh, cool. Huh.
Yeah.
No one has to drive a car through it in order for them to start spray painting?
No.
So you said yes and no. So in what ways are you still kind of a...
I still think about, like, the worst possible scenarios.
Is it just... just applying to, like, being safe, or does that extend to, like, to mm-hmm. sort of more, does that extend
No, sometimes,
more
like, I'll get, like, a really bad feeling in my stomach, like, about, like, a flight that I'm about to take, and I'll be like, oh, what if this, like, goes down? And I'll be like, I don't know if I should do it. I don't know if I should, like, I just have a terrible feeling, and then I have to, like, psych myself. I'm like, Deborah, you're being irrational.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Yeah. And, like, also, if it goes down, you've had a great life. So
yeah, sometimes I'll think
like it's been good. I feel like I made a good impact in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
People like me, I hope. Yeah. And that's that. And what a great story. She went down on a plane. so yeah, but I still do. I have like whatever. The psychic recently told me I need to tap into my powers. So I feel really great about that. I'm gonna start reading some books. But I do a lot of times have like feelings about things where I'm like I don't know. And my room was haunted as a child.
What?
And like, oh yeah.
What? Tell me about that.
We lived in Boston in this room. Well, not in this room. I lived in a room.
Yeah.
In this like really old house, and it was when my parents moved in. They were like, "It's haunted." My parents like, "Okay, whatever."
Yeah.
And it truly was haunted. The door in my room would open and close, and the light would go on and off. And it just got to the point where I was, like, so beside myself that my mom, like, came in and she yelled at them. And she's like, are you proud of yourself? Are you proud of yourself? You're making a little girl very scared. And then it just stopped.
Whoa.
Really?
But weird shit would happen all the time.
And your parents believe in ghosts fully?
I don't necessarily know if they believed before then.
Yeah.
But, like, after shit like that would happen. Yeah. And then, like, hearing people walk upstairs that weren't there and, like...
Yeah.
That stuff's not, like, you can't make that stuff up.
No.
And there's tons of weird shit in New England, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boston's got some history.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I used to see stuff all the time when I was little.
Like what?
Like ghosts. Like stuff hovering above me.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And we had, like, a lot of homes in my family have been in our family for like generations and generations. So like, I don't think it was ever like bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just like great, great grandfathers just like saying, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do like, I will walk in some places and be like, oh, this is a bad place. I do not want to be here.
What's the, like, is there like any places, I was going to ask any places we would know. Like, are there like.
Do you remember going to the One-Eyed Gypsy downtown?
Yes.
That place was bad.
Really?
Yeah.
What? How did you know?
I just got terrible feelings going in there. And I've heard multiple stories. And there was this bartender that I would talk to all the time. And he said that they had a security guard. This huge dude was in there. It was before anybody was there, but like before they opened. And he had his earbuds in and he was peeing in the men's room.
Mm-hmm.
And his earbuds like crackled. And he felt two hands come like around him like this. And he turned around and no one was there. And he came out. He looked at them. He was like, I'm out of here. I'm fucking out of here. And he left. But stuff like that would happen all the time. Like one bartender told me she would get like goosed all the time when no one was there. On one of the nights, something they saw like come off the shelf and like hit like, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. The Roosevelt Hotel, same thing. I talked to some of, like, the housekeeping there. Some really weird shit would happen there. There's some, like, gnarly stories at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've heard about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the stories, but I've heard that one.
It's super hot. Do you believe in ghosts?
I mean, I don't know.
have you had any, like, paranormal experiences?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have... I have too many repressed memories from childhood to have any possible, like, my first memories pop up, like, I don't know, probably around 15 or so.
Really?
So it, I don't think I necessarily had, like, a super bad childhood, but I don't remember it. So,
So maybe it was.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You?
Not really. I really, I definitely believe in ghosts. Like, I feel very open to it. But I, like, one time I was living in New York during a summer in college. I was, like, living in, like, NYU student housing. So it was, like, an old building that had been turned into a dorm. And I was, like, in this, like, sort of dumb acting summer camp. But we were doing a lot of, like, bullshit New York-y, like, physical acting stuff where you're, like, doing, like, basically, like, half of every day was, like, a yoga class where they would try to make you cry. And so I think I was maybe very uniquely physically relaxed, or, like, the kind of things we were doing were, like, was, like, making me sort of a little more aware and, like, a little more tapped in to my intuition. And I remember going to sleep one of those nights, like, in my little dorm and definitely seeing like a figure in the doorway, like, and I couldn't move. And I was just, it was like, I was right on that sort of edge of sleep, and there was, like, for sure somebody in that room.
Yeah.
And I think probably maybe the, like, I'm sure it had something to do with the fact that I was, like, sort of specifically, I guess, like, physically relaxed, which I'm not normal. So maybe I'm too stressed to see ghosts.
It's true, though. I mean, most people say, like, you have to, like, meditate and, like, really open yourself and, like, be open to it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if I want to be fully open
to
it.
Yeah, I don't know if I do either. Yeah.
Whenever, like, most recently I went and had, like, a Reiki treatment done. And you're supposed to be, like, super relaxed, and maybe you see stuff. And I felt like I was in the fucking Minority Report. There was, like, shit coming across the screen like this, and it was so stressful for me. And afterwards, she's like, well, what was going on with you? What was going on? And I was like, and I told her, I was like, it was so much. She's like, so I have to let you know, like, you have a lot of people trying to talk to you all at once. And I was like, cool. I was like, I don't know if I'm, like, really, like, down with that, because it kind of, like, feels like my chest is caving in, and like that horrible feeling when you wake up from, like, a nightmare and you're like, and I was like, I don't like it at all. And I was like, and I don't know if I want to, like, tap into that. And she was like, well, it's not bad. You've never been, like, a bad person, like, in any past life or anything. And she was like, you were never a bad witch. And I was like, witch?
Excuse me?
What's happening?
Yeah, you really jumped a couple steps there, man.
And she was like, I really encourage you to go to, like, Salem. And I was like, okay.
Have you been this? Because it's not far from where you grew up, right?
It's not far. And I've never been with, like, crazily enough. But, yeah. No. So I don't know if I'm ready to, like, all that seems, like, heavy.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of, are there a lot of, like, have you experienced a lot of death in your life? Or are they, like, people who, like, are loved ones? Or would, like,
I have experienced a lot of death in my life. Like, a lot of, like, gnarly stuff has happened in my family very recently, actually. I don't know if that's it. I don't know who's trying to talk to me.
Yeah.
She said I have four spiritual guides, and those aren't people who have passed. Those are just people you're born with, she said.
Wow. Does everybody have them?
Mm-hmm. You have, like, 1 to 7, I think.
Hmm.
That's super interesting. Mm-hmm.
It really interests me.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm very, yeah.
It's like your improv team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, four ghosts.
Yeah, me, you know.
Should we play a game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Okay. Deb, we're going to play a game called In Honor of You. This will be a game that only you get to play. Specially designed for you. It's called Deb Against Evil.
Great.
And it was obviously, it's based purely on the fact that you were on that television show, but having had the conversation, it feels even more apropos than just based on, actually, some of the things you said immediately actually will present themselves in this game, having nothing to do with the television show, more about being afraid of someone coming for you.
So, good.
So this is what's happening, okay? So you are out, it's late at night, and you're walking to your car. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to list a creature that is coming up behind you. It is an evil creature.
Oh,
it is. So your option would be to continue down this path or to turn left, at which point there will be another scary creature. So in every direction, there will be a scary creature coming for you, and you will decide which scary creature you will do battle with in Deb against evil.
This is like choose your own adventure, it but is, like
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah, but yeah, it's truly horrible.
It's like nightmare. Yeah. Choose your own nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. This, it could be called.
Should be a franchise.
Your, yeah, yeah. In future, maybe future iterations of this game will be called Choose Your Own Nightmare because Deb against somebody's name against evil
always
is
be called Deb against evil.
I want you to play this game with everyone and continue Deb against evil, please.
Okay. Cool.
Thank
yes,
you.
We'll franchise you into this.
Thank you.
Okay. So the first creature, the creature that stalks you first, is called an aswang. The aswang is a mythical creature from Filipino folklore. Damn it. The aswang is a shapeshifter and an evil vampire-like creature. They switched back and forth from being shy and seemingly harmless humans into terrifying monsters who eat unborn baby fetuses and children's livers and hearts. And then, so I obviously just pulled this from a website. They then included, so be warned, you never know, there might be an aswang near you. So in this case, there is an aswang near you. So is that scary? That sounds pretty scary, right?
Yeah, but I also feel like you can negotiate with them. Like, I feel like because they're shifty, like, maybe I could, like, have a nice conversation with them, right? Like, and just be like, don't be scared. Like, just don't turn into that.
Yeah, there's a rational side.
Okay.
Yeah,
because they're really scared.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next creature, now we're going to determine which one. So either the aswang or the adlet, you're going to continue.
So which one do you want to pick?
Yeah, which one? Yeah, of these two. So, okay, we got the aswang, the adlet. The adlet is the werewolf of the Inuit.
Oh.
It stands between 6 and 8 feet tall and has human-like features such as hands, only with long and sharp claws. Mm-hmm. They are merciless killers who hunt in packs. They paralyze their prey with fear, making them easier to hunt. The prey's death is slow, agonizing, and extremely painful. The adlet crushes its prey into an unrecognizable pulp and then eats the guts and blood that spill out from the body.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Are you taking
honestly,
your risk?
Honestly, the scariest part of that description is human fingers with long claws.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's the most chilling part.
We'll approach that fear in another context momentarily. But, yes. Yeah, so, are you taking your chances on the aswang or the adlet so far?
Aswang.
Okay.
Just because it's a shy one,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like
you
I feel
like
I like
it.
I think it's endearing.
It showed an emotional depth that you respond to. Yeah. Okay. Number three is the Kikayayan, the soul cannibal, which is sort of weird. I mean, let's address that for a second.
Oh.
That's a soul that eats souls? That seems weird to me.
Yeah,
I don't know what
does.
That exactly means, but it's a very scary term. The soul cannibal.
The soul cannibal. That's like a great. Could that be the name of a wrestler?
Yeah, it definitely could.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And he probably comes out to theme music performed by the band Soul Cannibal as well. Yeah.
Yes.
One of the most terrifying but least seen and understood of all the forest creatures. It looks like an owl. It has a huge beak, talons on its arms and feet. So that's another one similar to what Madeline was terrified of. Yeah, Madeline doesn't like a hybrid creature.
No, that's what we're learning.
Yeah.
She also just doesn't like bony fingers.
That's true.
It's just the long, weird fingers that really, they
the
really irk her.
If your finger, if someone had a finger that was 100% normal, they handed it to Madeline and said, feel that, Madeline would be terrified just feeling. She'd be like, I know something's not right about this finger. I don't know what it is,
yeah,
but I don't like it. Yeah.
Now I can't stop thinking about the bones of my fingers. I hate it.
Finger bones. That's like a jazz nickname.
Finger bones.
Yeah. Had bones in his fingers. What he lacked was a nickname. Anyway. It's the inhabitant of the dark forest. They are inhabitants of the dark forest in Africa. People who see the creature and live will die of sickness or from shock. So you can't survive it. At best, you live and you're so haunted by it that you die.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just like one of those things like everybody dies, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's
like,
true,
does
right.
Is it like immediate?
You'll
does
die
it say
of,
it's
like,
immediate?
Some, like, yeah, like everybody will die of
like
an,
everybody
some,
will
yeah.
die at some point. I'm still gonna go with the shy one.
Okay, okay.
Right? Yeah. So aswang, aswang,
aswang's winning.
Down.
Okay. So now it's aswang up against perhaps the scariest of all creatures, Tipsy Steve Bannon. It's late at night.
No.
He's had a little too much to drink, and he feels like you owe him something. He's maybe 30 yards away, but you can feel his liquor breath on your neck. You fumble your keys as he limps closer. Klaus Wong or Tipsy Steve Bannon?
I feel like I've been to enough of my parents' cocktail parties that I can, like, handle it, though.
That's probably true. Yours do sound like they've had a band.
I feel like I'm really equipped for that.
Yeah.
So I might go Tipsy Steve Bannon.
You're
I feel like I have
yeah.
the tool belt for that.
Klaus Wong has been unseated by Tipsy Steve Bannon.
If there were more Oswongs at posh New England parties.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tipsy Steve Bannon wins. All right, so I'm going to throw in one.
This is terrible. One. I don't want him to win.
Okay, let's give you one other.
And this I
is
win.
Yes. Well, actually, yes. That sort of is. So the fifth option, the one that potentially could usurp Tipsy Steve Bannon is the doppelganger. So in German, this word means the double walker. Essentially, it's in a nutshell, it's evil you.
Oh.
It's so they're perceived as sinister forms of bilocation, which is when an individual or object is in two same places at the same or two different places at the same time, and they often bring an omen of death. So in this one, it's an evil version of you coming to tell you that you're going to die, or Tipsy Steve Bannon. You can feel the hairs on your neck standing up.
An evil version of you is so scary.
That
evil
is really
you,
scary,
or
yeah.
just regular Steve Bannon,
or regular Steve Bannon. True. Oh man, I don't know. An evil version of yourself. That's because they know everything.
Yeah.
About you.
Mm-hmm. So they're
and
right.
They really know all your weaknesses. Yeah.
Yeah.
They really could manipulate you. I feel.
Uh huh.
And it'd definitely be harder to talk that one out of.
Mm-hmm.
Harder to talk evil you out. Of evil than the Aswang, probably.
Yeah.
What would evil you be, what would evil you be like?
What would evil me be like?
What color is its hair, for starters?
Oh, God. I mean, evil me would probably be... What? Like...
Yeah.
I always picture stark white hair, but maybe. That might just be where...
Maybe. Or maybe it would look exactly like me, but like with like black eyes.
Oh, exactly like you.
So basically just like the soulless version of you. Like you can see the darkness.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you figured it out. That's really scary.
Yeah, I think it would look exactly like me with like black eyes and maybe like a black tongue.
Oh, black tongue. Mm-hmm. So
like if your husband were to like see evil you from far away, he'd be like, Deb.
Yeah,
and then he'd and then come he closer, would, and you'd be,
yeah,
he'd
and then he would die a swift death. Yeah. I still think I would get out of drunk Steve Bannon rather than the evil me.
Yeah.
No one wants to face themselves.
No.
Ugh.
No.
But it's Steve Bannon. Like I do. I wonder if
I think
if
he would be dumb enough to kill though.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. In this one. In this one, I think of him as being more malicious than dumb. But you're right. He's not like – he probably is the dumbest of these. Well, actually, I don't know. Yeah. There's actually – all these creatures are actually somewhat described as being dumb. So including Steve Bannon. Do you think of Steve Bannon as being like dumb?
No. Actually, I think of him as being
– like scary manipulative.
Like scary. Yeah. Like – yeah. Smart in a way that makes him scary. But I guess I'm thinking of in a physical battle of wills, like probably evil you would have more – tricks up their sleeve than a simple bad mortal.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
True. I mean, at the very least, evil you knows all your tricks.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be able to you can't pull one over on evil you.
No.
Steve Bannon. Yeah, you probably could. Like I probably go in my head. I go a little bit to like that. That Shia LaBeouf. That musical thing.
All right. Where they're like running through the forest.
Yeah. You probably could. You could at least. There's every reason to at least believe that you could put up a fight with Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
And probably, like, if you were willing to be vicious enough, then, yeah, you probably could outsmart him.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that, like, that evil wants to be more evil than you want to be. Like, I want to fight fair. I mean, every time I get into a fight, which is on a daily basis, I'm like Queensberry rules.
No one's going to fight you if you keep those headphones on your head. They're not going to.
Yeah. That's right. I always put my ears out. Ooh. Yeah, let's do this. And then we scrap. Then we kiss.
Yeah.
Then we get married.
Who would you pick? Yeah.
Steve Bannon? Tipsy Steve Bannon?
Yeah, I still think I might go for the shy monster.
Oh.
though. I don't know. I feel like I could deal with Tipsy Steve Bannon.
I mean,
I would just invite him to have more drinks.
Right.
Yeah.
And then engage him in a conversation that he thinks is going somewhere, and then just use my sneaky self to, like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's actually what happened.
Poison him with a can of paint.
But then all of a sudden, then maybe you've become evil you.
Yeah, maybe I have become evil me.
Yeah.
Evil me against Tipsy Steve Bannon.
Yeah. Oh, that's a smart move. So what you're going to do is you're going to...
Quibble switcheroo.
Yeah. And so suddenly Tipsy Steve Bannon is coming for evil you.
Yeah.
And they go at it. And you...
Sure.
You just watch.
Yeah, or I just get evil me to, like, battle all of those.
Oh, right. Except for the Aswan, who you've taken a real shining to.
I know. I feel like I can just talk them through it. You know, let them know it's okay.
Yeah, you really responded to him the way that a lot of women respond to, like, an abusive boyfriend. Yeah. Like, you could change him.
Yeah. Come on.
He's shy.
He's really shy. He doesn't know how to express himself.
He does have, like, a little bit of, like, a Kurt Cobain kind of thing going, where you know that his great music is the result of how pained that he is, but it's also what causes him to do harm to others.
Oh, the poor Oswald.
Yeah. We get him into a good art class and, like, really express himself. It'll be great.
What would be the scariest thing for you to face in a dark alley? Like,
of all things or on the list?
Of all things. I guess I'm asking, what are you the most afraid of?
What would be the scariest? I don't know. I think...
It could be a concept, too.
I think the Exorcist has always been really, like, frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having such a demonic, well, the devil, right? Like,
yeah.
Although I was raised, my mother doesn't believe in the devil. she refuses. She doesn't believe there's hell. She doesn't believe any of that. But
does she believe in God?
Well, that's up for debate.
Yeah.
But I think she believes in, like, we were raised Episcopalian.
Oh.
I know, big shocker. and but it was more of, like, out of because we lived in Florida for a little bit, and my mom didn't want us to be sucked into any of these other sort of, like, so she's like, here's a basis of a religion that you can or cannot accept. And she ran the after church program for the kids, and it was all about, like, the Big Bang Theory.
Was it really?
It really was. And she was like, what do you think? And, like, really, like, questioned a lot of things with all of us. But it was always like, this is a religion, and you can figure out what you do believe in your life.
Yes.
That was always what my parents, like, told us, which I thought was cool.
That's yeah. Awesome.
Great.
Yeah, that's the best.
My husband was brainwashed as a child.
Oh, no.
And, no, I mean, he grew up real religious and now doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah, but was
terrible. He went to Bible camp one summer and, like, he did the wrong thing at, like, this, like, game they had, and they were supposed to all, like, give their money to the church, but instead he, like, went and, like, bought ice cream and, like, did this lottery thing, and all the kids who didn't give their money to the church had to go to hell.
Oh, Jesus.
And the other people went to, like, this ice cream social and, like, got to watch these kids go through hell and, like, were so terrifying. And I heard this story and I was like, what kind of people are these? This is terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He tells us story all the time. And I'm like, oh, man. But then he, like, came to California and, like, went to college and took religion classes. And he was like, why wasn't I ever exposed to any of this?
Yeah.
Why didn't I know? And anyway.
Because you were in hell.
Yeah, you were.
He went to hell.
Yeah.
He went to hell.
With his ice cream.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it would be, like, something, like, demonic.
Mm.
Demonic and, like, pure evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Like, there's a movie that I was so scared of that I saw when I was maybe in middle school, and I can't even remember the name of it, and I to this day cannot remember what it was, but it was about the devil trying to, like, possess a guy, and it scared me so much that I, like, it, like, haunts me to this day. Just for, I don't know what, I mean, I've watched devil movies since then, but, like, there's something about, like, just, like, the devil coming to Earth. And I don't even know if I don't think I believe in like the devil proper. Like, but you know, but just like but like, but just that idea, because it feels like, well, then there's no winning and it's all over, and you can like think you can do something about it, but you really can't, because everything is like, it's just that idea of pure evil is like so chilling.
And it's the one that's used to convince children to do what you want them to do. So it's like always sort of associated with childhood. Like, I've never, I don't think you could convince someone who had never heard of the concept of the devil as a child that it existed as an adult, but you can really make a kid believe that if you make this little mistake, like buying ice cream with the money that you're at summer camp, you know, like it's probably hot, you want ice cream. That seems like a very natural thing for a kid to want, but to convince them that that was evil, and that that doing something like that means that you get to spend eternity with the devil. Yeah, it works then. It works then.
Also, what a lazy name.
I know.
The devil. Just put a D on evil. You're like, who's the evil one?
Devil.
The devil does the evil. The guy who does evil. Devil. We got it. We're done. The Bible is finished.
It's devil. Stop.
Good job, guys.
Stop asking so many damn questions, kid. You're going to go to hell.
Before we go, do you want to plug anything? Anything you want people to watch or listen or see?
Sure. Stand Against Evil is coming to Hulu. Oh, so if you missed season one, you can check it out on Hulu. I think I don't have a specific date, but I think it's going to be in August or September. And then season two comes out probably at the end of October.
Awesome.
And it's really good. And we have amazing guest stars this year and amazing storylines. If you liked last year, you're going to love this year even more. It's really fun. And if you're in China, The Great Indoors just premiered. And please tune in. All 22 episodes, I'm in. And, and if you missed it, I'm sure you can catch it on CBS All Access.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you
thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
It was so fun. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are the best.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.